Luke chapter 5, continuing on our series, Follow Me, Follow Me. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, and all Christians were to follow Christ. We're not to follow other people, we're not to follow the trends of the world, we're not to follow the motivational speaker, but as a Christian, by the very name, we're to follow Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5, we're continuing on through the ministry of Jesus, going as best we can chronologically through his ministry. And last week we looked at the compassion that Jesus had on those who were in need. And today is no exception as we look at Luke chapter 5. But we're going to be looking at some things as we go through this morning. And just as Jesus was becoming famous for his miracles and for his teaching, we see in this account that we're looking at that Jesus was becoming a great attraction for people to come, not just as a novelty, but people were coming to him to be healed. People were coming to hear his preaching and teaching, and he was attracting great groups of people. There were also groups of people that were curious about this new person on the scene. And this morning we're going to see a man and his friends and their determination to come to Christ. We're also going to look at some things that we can always count on in serving God. We can always count on some things in the service of the Lord, and a message entitled, You Can Count on It. You can count on it. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17 down through verse number 26, if you would follow along as I read aloud. In verse number 17, God's Word says, And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, he being Jesus, that there was that were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing before we continue this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And I pray that you would touch our hearts this morning and encourage us. And Lord, there is always some things that we can count on in serving you and in following you. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless our time, that you would guide us. We thank you for the opportunity to be on the internet streaming as well. I pray that you bless those that are listening this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct and bless. Dear Lord, your word is powerful, sharp and powerful, and quicker than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the living word that we have set before us and that it would touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You can count on it. You know, there's some things in life that you can always count on. It was the famous quote by Benjamin Franklin. You can always count on death and taxes. You always know death is coming, and you can always depend that tax time will come. April 15th comes every year. Those are some things you can count on. Now, we can't count on that we'll be here tomorrow. We can't promise that we're going to be here for the next day or the next week or the next 10 years. We don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. However, in service to God, there is always some things that we can count on. Okay, so each one of the 3 points this morning is going to be the phrase, you can count on, and then a phrase. Okay, so if you're taking notes, that'll help you. The first point this morning is you can count on people needing help. You can count on people needing help. There are needy people everywhere. And we saw last week that Jesus had compassion on these people. He had compassion on the man who was full of leprosy. He didn't have a little bit of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. And Jesus had compassion on him and touched him and healed him. Praise God for that. And God's touch is needed in many places and many people's lives, not just for physical needs, but for spiritual. But this man that we see in this particular situation, he needed help. He was a paralyzed man. He was a man that he was bedridden. He could not get up and walk. He could not get up and do anything. He was completely helpless. He was completely unable to do anything himself. And he was completely helpless to change his sinful condition spiritually, but also he was completely powerless to change his physical condition. Now, some people take this and say, when Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," that he was paralyzed because of his sin. We don't see that and indicate anywhere. It is possible. However, he was more addressing the fact that all men are sinners. Amen. No matter what condition you're in, if you're in perfect health or if you're paralyzed, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. But this man wished to come to Jesus for healing. He knew where he needed to go. He had heard of a man. Right now, Jesus was famous. Jesus was known all throughout the country for healing and for being a preacher and a teacher of God's word. But not only that, that he was different than other people were. He had compassion. He had love. And some were even saying that this is the very Messiah, the Son of God that we have been waiting for. But this man's condition, and he was very much like you and me. In the fact that he was physically paralyzed, this man is a picture of the condition that all men are in spiritually. All men, every man, woman, every person on this earth that has ever been born has been born a sinner. And because of our sin, we are dead. We are unable to attain unto eternal life. We're unable to attain fellowship with God. For Adam and Eve were created in the garden, and all was created was very good, and there was no sin and death and suffering. But because of man's sin, because they took of that fruit, they disobeyed the law of God. They sinned against God. Up until that point, man had full access to God. Man had full fellowship with God. Man had no sin, and there was no death and disease. There was no curse. But because of sin, there came a curse. And because of sin, there came spiritual death and also physical death. But we see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 5, the condition that every single person is in this morning, unless you've had the saving power of Jesus Christ on your life, that before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:5 is very clear about that. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. You're saved. It's by the grace of God. It's by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness and sin. We are incapable of doing anything about the condition of our soul. Just like this man, he was incapable of doing anything about his physical condition. He was helpless. There was nothing that he could do. There was no potion he could take. There was no medicine that could heal him. There was nothing that could be done. Now we have to understand, this is outside the time period of modern medicine. We have many things in modern day that were unthinkable in that time that could be cured. A paraplegic or someone who is paralyzed completely, they are in need of care. Many times they need breathing assistance or different things like that. We have the ability today to make someone in that condition comfortable. Back in the time of the Roman Empire, that was not possible. So this man was more than likely suffering greatly physically. There are many who try and change their physical, their spiritual condition on their own. This man couldn't do anything about his physical condition. That's why he came to Jesus. But spiritually speaking, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you say, well, I'm trying to do the best that I can. I'm trying to be a good person. That's great. Well, I go to church, Pastor. Well, that's great. I've got baptized. Well, that's great. All of these things are all good things. They're not bad things, but they don't have anything to do with your spiritual condition. Some slap back and say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is this, is that the same way this man was powerless to change anything about his physical condition, we're powerless to change anything about our spiritual condition on our own. Ephesians chapter 2 is very clear about that. Now, we looked at verse number 5. Look down a couple of verses here on verses 8 and 9. Okay? For by grace are you saved in verse number 8, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. So nothing that we can do, it's not of ourselves. We can't conjure up enough good works. We can't conjure up enough spiritual strength. We can't conjure up anything. Remember, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. We're dead spiritually. We can be alive physically, but we're dead spiritually, in that we cannot do anything of ourselves to attain eternal life and fellowship with God. We can't do it. For by grace are you saved. Romans 5:8 also is another verse that very clearly tells us that. Well, Pastor, I have my good works, and you can have your faith, but I have my works. Romans 5:8 very clearly says this. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we could work our way to heaven, then why did Christ have to die? It was needless then. No, Christ died because we were incapable of saving ourselves. There are always going to be people who need the gospel of Christ. That's something we can count on. In this fallen world, there's always going to be people that need help. Amen. There's always going to be someone that needs a hand. There's always someone that has spiritual struggles. There's always going to need to be some. There's always going to be someone that hasn't heard the gospel message somewhere on this earth. There are always going to be people that need healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man needed help in the worst way. But he had no way of helping himself. He had no modern medical facilities to help ease his suffering. We don't know. It is very possible that this man, we don't know. It is not told in the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And we are not told, but this man very possibly was near death because of his paralyzed condition. We do not know. All we know is that this man was, as it says in Matthew, was born of four. Four friends carried him. Carried him on a litter. Carried him, as it says, on his bed. Carried him to Jesus. We don't know how far he was carried. We just know that he was. He was carried to Jesus so that he could be healed. But there was a problem, though. There was a problem. There was too many people for them to get to Jesus. There were another passage that he was in a house, and that there were multitudes, there were people thronging there. And it says here, as look back at Luke chapter 5, and we look here at verse number 17, at the end of the verse, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, meaning Jesus, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because there's too many people. There was thronging, and you got to understand, this isn't, you know, wide thoroughfares like we have today, but very narrow streets, and there was too many people, and there was no way for them to carry him to Jesus. But also, you'll notice something here. We see in verse number 17, in the first part of the verse, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. So right here, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, why did they come? We're going to get to them in a minute. But they came not to be healed. They did not come to learn anything. They came to sit there and to observe. And the reasoning behind that we're going to look at in a few minutes. But they were there, so they were causing an impasse, perhaps even sitting in the house with them. They were sitting by. They were within earshot of Jesus. There was the multitude. There were all kinds of problems. And, you know, they could have just said, well, we're just going to go home. We're just going to go back the other way. But no, they had faith. And that brings us to our second point. Number one was you can count on people needing help. Second, you can count on obstacles. You can count on obstacles. If you're going to serve God, you can count on some obstacles. Amen. You can count on things being put in your path, and there's always going to be obstacles to coming to Christ, especially even those. And I remember when I got saved, maybe go back when you came to know the Lord, guess what? There were some obstacles in your way, weren't there? There were some obstacles in your mind and in your heart. But this man's biggest obstacle was his lack of physical mobility. This man had four friends, however, that had faith that Jesus could heal this man. And in Matthew 9:2, Jesus took note of not only his faith, but the faith of these men, that they were willing to do whatever it took because they firmly believed that Jesus was going to heal their friend, that Jesus was going to work a miracle in their friend's life, and they were determined, no matter what, to overcome the obstacle because of their faith. And in Matthew 9:2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the connection here is between faith and salvation. It's not the work of bringing him to him, but their faith that he could heal them and heal his friend, their friend. They were not going to be dissuaded by the obstacle of his physical limitation. They would carry him to Jesus, but then they encountered another obstacle, the great crowd of people around the house. Jesus also was healing other people, as it is implied in this message at the end of verse 17. There were also Pharisees and the religious crowd sitting around Jesus. There were great obstacles in coming to Jesus. These men decided they would surmount this obstacle by going to the roof and taking the roof off the house and lowering this man down to Jesus. I said, well, why didn't they just go back and try another time? Why didn't they wait to when Jesus was in town again? Why didn't they just go and just do it later or just say, hey, Jesus, can you come to this man? That's why we have the idea here that this was urgent. They did not know how long their friend might live. You know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe he was in good health that day, but maybe he could be in bad health tomorrow. We're not told, but we need to have some urgency in bringing people to Jesus Christ. Amen. These men had faith in Christ and had faith that he could heal. And we as Christians, we need to make sure that we don't let obstacles get in our way in witnessing. Oh, we let obstacles get in our way, don't we? We let the weather get in our way. Now, yesterday was a terrible day. It was 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was 30 degrees outside. It was windy, but you know what? We were still out there knocking on doors and trying to get people to come to church. Amen? We were still trying to do that. Even though it was limited, we still tried and did our best. There were obstacles in the way. How many times people's attitudes get in the way? How many people's excuses get in the way? There are many obstacles that we must overcome by faith. Fear is a great obstacle. I mean, if these men were fearful in any way, shape, or form, that they said, well, what if Jesus can't heal them? Maybe what if we have heard about him isn't true? What if we get there and we can't get in? What if we drop him? What if, I mean, we could go down a whole list of what ifs, but these men weren't fearful. They were determined. They had faith that the obstacle was going to be overcome. So they decided, well, if we can't get through this crowd of people, we're going to go up on the roof. And we're going to disassemble the roof, and we're going to get some rope, and we're going to lower this man right in front of Jesus so Jesus can get to him. And by the way, Jesus knew all this was happening. Remember, Jesus knew all things. He's God. He knew all of this was happening. Well, why didn't Jesus just get up and go outside? And he knew they were there. He saw their faith even from afar. He knew their hearts, for God knows all things. Why didn't he get up and just go out and heal them? You know, sometimes God wants us to put some obstacles in our way to test our faith. We have to understand that. That he allows the obstacles to be placed to test our faith. And these men went up under the roof of the house and they lowered him down. This man, Jesus saw that this man had faith to be healed, but also he saw that his friends had faith that Jesus could heal this man. All throughout Jesus' ministry, there were obstacles in people's path, but many surmounted those obstacles by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 17 and verse number 20. Matthew 17 and verse number 20. There were obstacles to some. Some surmounted them, some did not. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. There were people that times that when Jesus, when they had an obstacle to coming to Jesus, they surmounted that obstacle. But then there was another man who was a rich young ruler that we know about. We'll have another message about him at some time in the future. But this man, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus saw his heart, and Jesus saw what his idol was, and his idol was his riches. He was a man of prominence. He was a man of wealth. And he said, the one thing that you've got to get rid of in your life, it wasn't the work of doing this that saved him, but this is really what you have your faith and trust in. You must discard that and follow me. He said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. That was an obstacle in this man's way, but he had no faith. And he went away sorrowing, for he had great possessions, the Bible says. He went away. He said, you know what, I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to do this, because he didn't have faith in Christ. He had faith in himself. He had faith in his riches, and he wasn't willing to give it up. And that's sad. But we see many others like this man, even in spite of the obstacles, he came to Christ. What are your obstacles this morning? There are many obstacles in people's path to Christ today. There might not be a physical limitation, but there is also the obstacle of pride. Oh, I don't need to come to Jesus. I'm okay on my own. I have my beliefs. I have my religious system. I have what makes me feel good. And I like what I'm doing. I like what I am. And I'm just comfortable with everything. So I don't need to come to Jesus. I know what the Bible says about works. I know what the Bible says about that. But you know what? I don't really believe that. I believe what I want to believe. And I think I'm going to be just fine. So I'm not going to come to Christ. That's pride. It's an obstacle. But what does faith do? Faith says, I don't have faith in myself. I have faith in what Christ has told me in his word and what I need to do. And I'm going to trust what Jesus told me to do. And I'm not going to let the obstacle, pride, get in the way. Amen? That goes every Christian too. Well, I know what God wants me to do, but I have my own opinions about things. But instead, no, I have faith in God's word. I have faith in what Jesus has done for me. And it doesn't matter what I think. I have faith in that. You can overcome your pride by faith. Maybe it's the obstacle of our religion. Oh, that is an obstacle to so many, because there's so many people who have religion in the United States of America today. A lot of people go to church. They're religious people. Jesus, at this time of this passage, he's surrounded by religious people. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law, they're very religious people. But you know what? There was a great obstacle in their life, and that was their religion and their belief system. And it wasn't based on what the Bible said. It was based on man's opinions. It was based on traditions. It was not anywhere based in the law of God found in the Old Testament. I've heard some people say that. And I said, well, the doctrines and the thought, well, the doctrines, yes, but the belief system and the religious system of the Pharisees was 100% correct according to the Bible. That is a false statement. It wasn't. They believed that their works saved them. They believed that keeping the law saved them. They didn't, and that's nowhere taught in the Old Testament. That is not faith in God. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11 that it was the faith of Abraham that he was saved. It was the faith of Noah. It was the faith of others. It wasn't their works. It was their faith that saved them. Not their works. Not their giving of sacrifices. It was their faith in Jesus Christ, in the coming Christ, in the coming Messiah. But we see that the obstacle of religion is very real to many people. I said, well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the truth is. You show them the gospel. You knock on their door, or maybe you run into them, and or maybe it's a family member, and they say, well, I understand what you're saying, but my religion does not teach that. Well, you have to admit that's true. It doesn't. But this is the truth of God's word. This isn't my religion. And by the way, the purpose of getting saved is not to acquire a new religion. It is to require an acquire a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God Almighty. Because without Christ, we have no relationship with our Heavenly Father. But through Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness of sin and have a relationship restored and to be made spiritually alive. But the obstacle of religion was, well, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I've had many people tell me this. Well, I understand what you're saying, but my religion doesn't teach that, and I'm going to stick with my religion. They had no faith in God's word or in God himself, but they had faith in their religion. That's an obstacle to some people. Some people, it's the obstacle of our sin. Well, our sin isn't that bad, or maybe we think our sin is too bad for God to forgive. I'm telling you here right now, there is not a sin too grievous or too bad or terrible or heinous or vile that God cannot forgive. He can forgive. And that's a lie of the devil that says he can't. He can forgive all sin. If you all have faith to come to him, he will forgive your sin. But my sin is too great. I've been in sin too long. I've been this. I can't give it up, whatever it is. And no matter how long you've been in your sin, no matter how deep you are or how bad it is, no matter what, Jesus can save you from it. Amen. And can heal you. No sin is too great or too deep or too long or anything that the devil wants you to think. The devil puts that right in people's mind. Well, my sin is too great. God cannot forgive it. It's really an unwillingness to believe in what Jesus said. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone. It doesn't say only those who have only sinned a little bit. It doesn't say only those who go to church or only those that come to me. No. It says anyone that comes to him shall be saved if they call upon him. Oh, the obstacle of our sin. But once again, you must overcome it by faith in God's word and faith in Christ. Just like these men had faith in Christ. Sometimes there's the obstacle of our heart. I don't want to. I don't see the need for that. It's connected with pride, but our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we just say, well, I don't feel like it. By the way, I don't think at the beginning of it, when we started getting convicted about our sin, any of us felt like getting saved. But I'm sure by the end, when God had his perfect work in our heart, that we realized we needed to be saved. Amen. It's not natural for the flesh to admit you're wrong. It's not natural for the flesh to admit that you're a wicked, rotten, dirty sinner, which we all are. All of us saved by grace, not one worse than the other or better than another. But all the foot of the cross is level, and we have all gone astray. We have all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we must say, hey, it's not about what I feel. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for me and what I must do and overcome that obstacle by faith. The list could go on and on and on. All of these can be overcome by having faith in Christ. We have faith in Christ's saving power. We have faith in the miracle of salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. No matter the obstacle, you can still come to Christ by faith. No matter the obstacle, no matter what. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to allow your faith to overcome those obstacles? Come to Christ. That's all you need to do. That brings us to our last point here this morning. First, you can count on people needing help. Second, you can count on obstacles. And number three, you can count on critics. You can count on critics. Look back at Luke chapter 5. Now, we know the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were there. They knew the law of God well. Now, we see something that is said here. Now, this man that was lowered down through the ceiling, his friends overcame the obstacle, brought him to Jesus, and then we see something. In verse number 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, oh, Jesus can see it all. He can see every thought you're thinking right here and right now. So, well, I don't believe what this preacher's saying. I don't believe what the Bible's saying. He can see it all. He can see it. And there will always be critics. The Pharisees were not there to learn some new thing. They were not there to sit at Jesus' feet and be taught. They were there to find a problem. They were there to sear what this man was teaching. They were there. They said nothing about this man. They said nothing about this man's condition. All they cared about was this man is a blasphemer because only God can forgive sin. And that is true because they did not see him as a son of God. They saw him as only a man. They saw him as just a man, as a teacher of some kind. Yay, maybe even a prophet. Maybe. But many of them were very skeptical of that. They were very critical. They did not see their need for healing. It's amazing to me in verse number 17. This was what struck me. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. So they had come where? Out of many different places. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not just those that came to him, but also those Pharisees and those doctors of the law. He was able to heal them spiritually. They were sitting at Jesus' feet. You know what? It doesn't matter how close you are to Jesus if your heart is critical. It doesn't matter how close you sit. You can even read the Bible, and you can have a gospel tract given to you. And if you're critical, and you say, "Well, I'm just going to believe what I'm going to believe. I'm a skeptic," then you can be very far from being saved this morning. These men were opposite. They had hardened their hearts against God. They thought they were fine. They didn't need any healing. All these other people needed healing, but they didn't. And so they were there. They had said nothing. They were sitting there listening. And then when they thought they heard something that ought not be said, they pounced on it. They did not see their need of healing. Now, it's interesting that Jesus did not say at first, "Rise up and walk." He didn't say that. You know what he said first? "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." What does that mean? The spiritual is more important than physical. This man had two problems. He had a spiritual problem and he had a physical problem. And Jesus saw the spiritual need first. His need of salvation. Now, right here also, he did this for a particular reason. He did this as a revelation of who he was to these Pharisees there. He knew what these Pharisees were going to say. And verse 22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts," in other passages, it has the idea that Jesus saw their hearts. He saw them. He saw what was going on inside. He saw their rejection. He saw their criticalness. "What reason ye in your hearts, whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk,' but that ye may know." He's saying, this is for you, for you to know that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, that I have the authority to forgive sins as well as to heal. This is not for everybody else, because guess why? They were coming to Jesus in faith to be healed. They already had faith in him, but they didn't. He said, this is for you. "But that you may know what the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God." He was showing the critics that he just didn't have idle words to say, that he did say his sins were forgiven. Only God can do that. I said, well, if you don't believe that, if it's as easy to say for me to forgive sin, as easy as it is for my heavenly Father to have this man rise up and walk, he said, "Rise up and walk. Get up." And he healed them right there to show them that he did have power to forgive sin. He did have power to heal. And you notice something? They didn't have much more to say after that. In verse number 26, "And they all were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" They could not help but give glory to God for what they saw. But they saw a strange thing. That's the Greek word there, is where we get the word paradox. They were conflicted in their mind of what they thought they knew and what they saw and heard. But they were critics. Let me tell you something. in service to God, there is always going to be critics. There's always someone that's going to say, well, that person really didn't get saved. There's always going to be somebody that says, well, we shouldn't have done it that way. There's always going to be a critic say, well, God shouldn't, it can't do that. There's always somebody that's going to say something. But you know what? Jesus didn't get distracted by the critics. He didn't get distracted, but he used it to the advantage of even showing a greater work for him, for the glory of God. He showed them the power of God by both healing and forgiving the sins of this man. We look at this as just one miracle. Number one, this man just had his physical condition healed. But most importantly, a second miracle took place. His sin was forgiven. He got saved. Amen. Two miracles took place here. This man never spoke a word to Jesus that we know of. He's never recorded what he said. But Jesus tried to reach the critics, but did not become derailed by them. Many times Jesus wasn't attacking them. Jesus was showing them the truth, was revealing to them, giving them an opportunity to trust in Him. We will face critics in our Christian life. We're going to face critics in the world we live in. Oh, don't we see? Isn't the church criticized? Aren't Christians criticized by the world and under scrutiny? And, well, you're just not real. You're a hypocrite or whatever. With all these things, there's always somebody that's going to be a critic in the world especially. The devil is the worst critic of us all, of all. Because he just tries to pick apart our life, pick apart everything, so we get discouraged. Don't worry about the critics. The world doesn't understand. The world doesn't see the spiritual walk. The world doesn't see spiritual life. It's foolishness to them. Don't be discouraged by the critics. Sometimes there's even critics in the church. In that, it's always, you know what, if you notice something, that the Pharisees were always around most of the time. They were there, and every time they were there, they caused a problem. Or they thought something they shouldn't think. Every time, if you look it up. They were, except for Nicodemus, there was not many exceptions to this, but they always were there to cause a problem. They were always there to be a critic. And you know what? There's a critic in every church. Every church has one, at least one. That, well, I understand, but I just don't think we need to do it that way. It won't work. It won't go that direction or that kid didn't really get saved, or there's no hope for this person or that person or this person over here. Why are you wasting your time? There's always a critic. There always is. You know what the answer is? Give up, Pastor? No, that critic needs to get right with God. Because they don't want to see what God is doing. These Pharisees didn't want to see. Sometimes there's even critics in our families. There's critics in our workplaces. There will always be critics. But why they are critics is that they are convicted and are refusing to heed the call of God to repentance. Why were these Pharisees critical? Because they saw what they saw and what they heard. They could not deny the truth of it. But they decided to reject that and not heed the call of God. Critics can even be saved people, but that they are disgruntled about something or hurt by something. Something they are willing to let go or admit, it makes them a critic. Need to carry on in spite of the critics and their false accusations. It was a false accusation that these Pharisees proclaimed that Jesus was a blasphemer. By the way, a blasphemer was worthy of death, according to Mosaic law. Be stoned. A blaspheme against God. And by the way, that's one of the charges they brought up against Jesus when he was on trial before his crucifixion, before Herod, before the Sanhedrin, that he was a blasphemer. And many other times he was accused of being a blasphemer by the Pharisees, by the religious crowd. We need to carry on in spite of the critics. Let me ask you a question. Will you let Jesus heal you today? Have you realized your spiritual condition? Realize that you are destitute of any ability to save yourself? Destitute of any possible way of salvation except through Jesus Christ? Just like that paralyzed man, he had no way to help himself or fix his situation. Only Jesus could help him physically and spiritually, and only Jesus can help you spiritually this morning. Will you let him heal you? Will you trust in him to be your Savior? Let me ask you, Christian, will you be derailed by obstacles and critics? Lost sinner this morning, will you be derailed by the obstacles in your own life and in your own heart? What are people going to think? Oh, that's a big obstacle. That'll come down back to pride. People are going to think things about me. People are going to look at me weird. Yeah, they might, but it doesn't matter. You're on your way to heaven. Doesn't matter. Overcome that obstacle by faith in Christ. Let Jesus heal you this morning. What will you do with the message of salvation this morning? Will you take it to heart or will you cast it aside? Well, I have my religion. Oh, don't be like the Pharisees. They had their religion, but they were critics. Well, I have my religion. I'm just not going to accept what I heard today. Don't cast it aside. It's the truth of God's Word. I didn't make it up. God's Word says it's right here. I didn't make it up. It's not the gospel according to Tabernacle Baptist Church. It's not the gospel according to Pastor Robert Spurbeck. It's not the gospel according to anybody else. It's the gospel according to Jesus Christ and His Word. That's what it is. We're biblicists. We believe in the Bible and believe what the Bible says is what the Bible says and not what we want it to say. This morning, what will you do? Maybe a Christian here this morning, you haven't been faithful. You haven't had the faith to bring people to Christ. You need to start. You need to get some faith in that you can bring people to Christ. Just like those four men. What if one of them decided, well, I don't think Jesus is going to be able to help them? And that man would have gotten healed. What if they had decided, well, there's too many obstacles in the way for bringing this man to Christ. We'll try again another time, and he died in the night. We make excuses. Don't let those obstacles, because these things really happen, even today. Well, I'm trying to reach this person, but they're just unreachable. There's too many obstacles. How about you try overcoming some obstacles by faith? Faith in prayer, and faith in love, and faith in persistence, and faith in the knowledge that you have an assignment to get that person to Jesus. But we abdicate our responsibility and we make ourselves feel better about it. Well, you know, it wasn't really my responsibility. They rejected, didn't they? Yes, they'll be accountable to God, but we'll be accountable to God as well when He says, I want you to overcome this obstacle. And we say, no, Lord, I'm not the person for that. That's not me. When God says, it is you. We'll stand before God for that. Will we let obstacles get in the way of our accomplishing God's will? Will we let obstacles stand in our way of coming to Christ for salvation or coming to Christ for healing from our sin, even if we are a Christian and we've gotten into sin? Will you allow God to heal you by faith and let that obstacle be overcome by faith in Christ? Nothing's going to keep you back from God. Nothing's going to keep you back from finding salvation in Christ. Only ourself. We have so many self-made obstacles. The biggest obstacle in serving God as a Christian, the biggest obstacle in coming to Christ for salvation, if you're lost, is yourself. Yourself. Your thinking, your pride, your heart, your desires, all of it, those are the biggest obstacles. And will you say, none of that matters? I have faith in what God has revealed to me in His Word, and I'm going to trust Christ. And He'll heal you. We let Him do it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for today. I pray that You would just guide and direct and help us. Oh, Lord, I pray if any lost person is in here today, they do not know You, dear Lord. They do not know if something happened to them right now that they'd be in heaven. They have no assurance of that. They have no walk with You. They have no relationship with You, and they know that in their heart. And there's a great emptiness and a burden and a lack of peace. And Lord, You can bring all of those things this morning to them if they will just simply come to You. And Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct them and that they would overcome the obstacles. They have faith in what You have said in Your Word, that it is true, and that they, dear Lord, would make a decision. I am not going to let these things hold back the opportunity of eternal life and a relationship with God Almighty. It's not worth it. I'm going to have faith in Christ. Perhaps a Christian here today, you're struggling with sin. You're struggling with God's will. You're struggling with something and there's an obstacle in your path. I pray that you, dear Christian, would come. And Lord, that you would help them to come. That you would help them, dear Lord, to overcome those obstacles by faith in you once again. For Lord, we are nothing without you. I pray that you would bless and help them. Guide us, dear Lord. Help us. I pray that you would heal hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.